My name is Tor Peterson, along with Eden Brookman. We're the research directors for Cascadia. She's over there. She's a rock star, too. And speaking of rock stars, we've got a couple really... I'm not saying I'm a rock star. I was actually saying these guys are rock stars. Tom Lent, Jack Geibig will be doing their shtick on Pharos today. I think it's going to be an exciting session. First of all, I just want to do a little bit of housekeeping. I think you guys probably know the drill about the bathrooms. They're down at the end of the hall, left and right, depending on your gender. There are continuing education credits available. I'll be the custodian of the sign-in sheet until the end of the session. Then I'll be at the back of the room. Y'all can come up and sign in. If you're looking for AIA credits, they're down in the Epicenter Trade Show, which I highly recommend you all peruse, because our exhibitors spent a lot of time making sure that they were red list ready for the show. So we want to show the support for this change in the marketplace. And let's see, I just want to do a quick intro of Tom and Jack. Tom is the policy director for the Healthy Building Network. He has 30 years of experience. So between the two of these guys here, we've got half a century of expertise in building material selection and analysis. Yes. Of experience in
So if
energy.
We fall asleep, you know, you can just throw something at us.
Exactly. I'll be there to poke them awake, too. So it's focused on healthy and resource-efficient building technologies and the environmental impact of buildings, materials, and energy. His career has been diverse, ranging from energy flow studies of row house attics to environmental critiques of the war in Iraq, to employment impact analyses of national energy investments, to health analyses of PVC-backed carpets, to coordinating a national solar and biodiesel-fueled rock concert power system tour. Tom has helped coordinate the development of the Green Guidelines for Healthcare, LEED for Healthcare, Sustainable Bioplastic Guidelines, and now the Pharos Project. He's a recipient of the US EPA Region 9 Environmental Award for Outstanding Achievement for his work transforming the building materials market. His house is solar powered, but not his flight to living future. Jack.
Working on that.
Yet. Jack Geibig is the director for the Center for Clean Products and Clean Technologies at the University of Tennessee. He has over 15 years of experience focused on the evaluation and promotion of clean materials, products, processes that restrict the use of toxic materials and reduce system impacts to both human health and the environment. Jack is a leader in the development of environmental product and material standards, materials-based research, and the application of life cycle principles and other tools and approaches leading to sustainable material and product systems. Current research efforts include the development of Pharos, which we'll be hearing more about, building green modular housing in the Gulf Coast, and improving sustainability of stone manufacturing operations through the National Stone Council. Jack currently serves as on the editorial board of the Journal for Cleaner Production and is a guest lecturer on life cycle assessment, sustainable materials, and green engineering at the University of Tennessee. He holds degrees in both chemical and environmental engineering and is a licensed professional engineer. And I must say that they have been working tirelessly for months now on the Pharos Project. I'm really excited to hear what the latest is because even I haven't heard about it, and I'm supposed to be behind the scenes too. So it's top secret stuff here that we're getting today, really a first look before anyone else, really. So let's hear it.
Thank you. Give me a moment here while I get this set up. Why don't you kind of check and see who's in the room? Let's do a little architect and engineer.
Sure.
And I'd be curious to see. Actually, first, how many people were? I recognize a number of faces, but I'm not sure if it's from yesterday's session or from in the halls. How many people were here yesterday for the other materials session? Quite a few. Wow, you came back. Just to give you the downer first, it's not going to be quite as kooky as yesterday. I know that was a good wake up session. We had a lot of fun putting that together, and really got a lot from what all of you contributed to that. We took a lot of notes on that, which are going to be useful in the efforts that we all three of us who are involved in that session are involved in different ways in trying to provide you more assistance in sorting through the confusions of finding materials. today we're going to do a little more straightforward, blasting you with information kind of presentation to start off. Though I do encourage you, if you have burning questions, to blast them out in the middle, and we'll decide on the fly whether to respond to them then or say, hold that question, we're getting to that, and maybe you could take questions that as they come up that we want to make sure to get somewhere into the mix. So let's see. Let's find out who's in the room, since we've got a mix of half and half of those we had yesterday and some new folks.
Right. How many architects out there? Okay. How about on the engineering side of things?
Okay. Ooh, more than yesterday.
Yes. let's see. Back to the design professions. Interior designer. Okay. Developer? Let's see. How about green consultant? What's that?
Bureaucrat.
Oh yeah, yeah. Policy.
Hey.
Policy wonk. Okay.
Any bureaucrats make it over the border from the United States? Congratulations! Yeah, yeah. You probably had to plan a long ways ahead for this trip to get that.
Okay. builders or contractors? Excellent. Yes.
Yes.
Manufacturers. And or retailers. Okay. How about the other category? Yay. And maybe some granularity there. Well, shout out what you are. Come on, Liz.
Product specialist for an architectural firm.
Super. Okay. Great.
Landscape architect.
Yes.
Cool. Yes. The guy raised the social wedge question yesterday, so we got a gold star for doing that. Well, yesterday we talked a lot about the mishmash of information that's out there already, the wide range of labels and how confusing it is to try and figure out what they actually mean, and if they actually mean, and who's behind them, and what the interests are that led to those standards, and how do you compare someone who's got one standard versus another, or no information at all, and blah, and all the difficulties of that. And we acknowledged also yesterday that there are a lot of issues that aren't covered by any standards or labels or rating systems right now. That there's, that there are a lot of issues that we aren't even really beginning to address yet, from worker safety to environmental justice, what's going on in the landfill, not just how much stuff is going into the landfill, but what happens if it burns, to to who's causing climate change. And so the Healthy Building Network in Cascadia and the University of Tennessee came together to work on a project, the ambitious, an Apollo-type ambitious project that would try to bring it all together and to bring all of the issues that should be part of the analysis of a green building material into one comprehensive system, to go beyond LCA and go beyond all the current systems and create not only our first cut, which we're going to show you today, about what we think ought to go into a green building material, but also create a forum so that can be a living process that you can continue to contribute to as we go. And there goes Jason McLennan, is just walking away from the back door, who should actually wave to everyone. Look back there. Is he's the guy who generated the label, which isn't up on the screen yet, but you'll see. It was his brainchild to think about the graphic representation that we're using for that. So I wanted to take advantage of that opportunity. Thanks, Jason.
Sorry, I got to circulate.
Keep going. Keep going. You've done your job now. So we started this process by thinking really big picture and thinking what are the big categories that we want to make sure get involved here. And many labeling programs deal with some of these. Many deal with the resources issues. That's really where we got a lot of our start in green building materials, was thinking about recycling, thinking about efficient resource use. Health has been rising in more recent years with the growth of indoor air quality emissions, programs that give us some pieces of that, and LCA programs that try and track more of the life cycle emissions of products. Social is, well, we'll talk about where social is at, but as noted by the fact that we had one person raising it in yesterday's session, we are starting to think about social issues, and we realize that that is at least as important as the health and resources. And within each of these three sectors, we identified had half a dozen categories of impacts that we wanted to focus on in each of them. In health and pollution, we've got indoor air quality, but we expanded that to be user exposure more generally, because these current definitions of indoor air quality we think are too narrow. High hazard toxics, global warming, air quality, water quality. In each of these, we'll go into more detail about how this works. We've defined a goal for what we're trying to accomplish in each of these categories, why we care about this, and what we're trying to do. Couple of examples here. In IAQ user exposure, what I mean by I don't think we're doing enough there already is that in addition to the emissions that we're already measuring in the IAQ programs, I think there's a lot of content issues that can be communicated through other pathways, through dust. Dusting off from products moving into the breathing space or being picked up by dermal contact, things that we wanted to include that to expand beyond the traditional definitions of that. In the resources category, we cover renewable materials. Where do the materials come from? Are they coming from a renewable source? Embodied energy, renewable energy, solid waste, and habitat. Here are a couple of examples of the goals that we established for each of those. Now you notice, they're all in very aspirational terms. Utilize only refurbished or recycled materials or sustainably harvested bio-based materials. Utilize or produce energy only from sustainable renewable resources. This is something that's different about the Pharos project from other standards and labeling projects. Instead of trying to establish the line above which products which are now out on the market can be concerned, can be labeled as sustainable, we're trying to establish the ideals, where materials need to end up at to be truly sustainable, knowing that no product out there right now is truly sustainable. We're still on a journey, as I like to frame it, and have a long ways to go in many of these categories of concern. And what we're trying to do in Pharos is both characterize where the industry is now and how we can differentiate between products now and set those aspirational goals for where we want to end up to continue the progress for continuous improvement. Robbie, the least measured of categories, of course, is social and community issues that we've looked at very, very little in evaluating green building materials, but there's a lot to be learned from the social responsible investment movement and other social concern movements that have been looking at these issues in other areas, in apparel and in other consumer goods. So within each of these categories, with their with their individual goals, we then established a first set of indicators, which is a set of questions, like any questions you would ask. But our favorite set of questions, which we intend to create a database of products with answers to these questions that we'll obtain through a wide variety of sources. Jack will talk more about this a little bit later, how the University of Tennessee Center for Clean Products is doing the initial scan of product research to start to populate our database, utilizing information from certification programs, information directly from manufacturers, and ultimately user information as well, but filtering it through screens that we're developing at the university. Ultimately, our goal is to have a tool that's also under development now where you'll be able to search by CSI categories, for products, drill down and see how those products score, and we'll explain more in a moment how that scoring actually happens, on a 1 to 10 scale, starting with 1 being worst practice of products, and 10 being that ideal, aspirational level for it. So we wouldn't expect many products actually to get out to the 10 anytime soon. Ultimately, the goal that you is for you to have a tool on your desktop where you'll be able to search for products, drill down and see how they score, and then drill down beyond that to see why they scored any particular way in a particular category, and also to be able to filter products by any of the indicator questions that that we are asking, whether it's a specific issue about recycled content or it's an overall score in a particular category that you want to filter by, or by some of the things we all look at now, like is it going to help me meet a lead credit? And once you've done that, you might get a series of products that meet the criteria that you set out. You'll get a little thumbnail of the lens, or we have other views that are more kind of consumer reports column, matrix type oriented views. Where you'll be able to see products and compare a bunch of them, and then then drill back down to the individual ones, or change your filters to get more or less products to compare, depending on what you find there, and also be a tool for talking about what all of this means, whether it's discussing an individual product and whether the information we have about it is correct from what you know, or whether there's more information that you can provide from the user side on it, or debating the actual issues that we're using as indicators, like how valid any particular certification program or standard that provides one of the benchmarks in our measurement system is. So, we're putting a lot of effort into trying to figure out how to use this to map products, but I also want to take a moment here before Jack digs deeper into the product scoring process to talk about how we can use this kind of framework, this way of looking at what it means to be green, to map the world of the existing labels and certifications and standards. And I've done what's a very preliminary preliminary informal first cut that I'm intending to do much, much more formally before Green Build later. But I'm going to walk you through this sort of. This is all a sneak peek today. No one's seen this level of detail either about Pharos or about the analysis that I'm just about to show you yet. So you're a very select and lucky audience here. So remembering that we've split this into these three quadrants of health, social, and environment, and then there are a lot of subcategories underneath that. Giving you sort of this bird's eye view here. A lot of the programs that we use right now for labeling certifying programs only deal with one of the 16 wedges that we're developing in the Pharos map of green materials. They only deal with indoor air quality. And as some of my comments earlier implied, they only deal with a part of what we consider should be, or proposing should be, the whole way of evaluating user exposure. They're dealing with the VOC emissions programs. All these programs are either dealing with emissions or content of volatile organic compounds, which of course is very important. There are lots of reasons why that is one of the areas of most activity now. It's a very important indicator of human health from exposure to these materials, but it's not all that's going on. So in reality, if you got, for example, a GreenGuard Children in Schools rating on your product, that would potentially get you up to as high as 7 on our scoring system. But if you have content of various chemicals like halogenated flame retardants, then you might get knocked back down on the scoring system. We'll get more into that in a moment, but. So got a bunch of labels that only deal with one little piece of the whole pie of what it means to be green so far. Then we have your Canadian. How many people are from Canada here, and how many from the United States, and how many from somewhere else? All right, where else?
Well, I'm from Scotland.
All right, great. So we're pretty good mix actually between the sides of the border here. At the Canadian environment, Canadian the Environment Canada, the Canadian government, is being a lot more aggressive about dealing with environmental labeling on products than the U.S. government is right now, and has this eco-logo program. And you see it, it includes the IQ issues, though not as as high a standard as the most aggressive of the VOC emissions programs right now. But they expand on it to include some of the toxic material issues that I mentioned, and they also expand on the IQ focus to include issues around recycling and recycled content and recyclability at end of life. So that brings them down into the resource sector. GreenSpec, I thought I took an effort at tackling it, and before you take this lens too seriously, I found it is really challenging for me to overlay what EBN does onto the Pharos lens, because what EBN does is in GreenSpec and in their writing is really all over the map, or at least all over a lot of parts of the map. What this represents is where they, where EBN has published a list of what they, what they consider to be green, which has where the overlaps with what we're doing on a product content basis are the products made with salvage, recycled, or agricultural waste content, products that conserve natural resources, products that avoid toxic or other emissions are the, sort of the categories I was able to map out there. Now, what EBN actually does is, is a much more intuitive editorial judgment type of thing that, is looking at product categories and identifying what they think are the most important areas there and then picking products that represent best practice there. But I think it's fair to say that it still tends to be more single, identifying particular single attributes that are important and where change is happening in a product area and highlighting those as opposed to trying to do the broader the broader whole map type of approach on a product by product base. And ideally someday we'll be able to merge the editorial wisdom and market change and market change wisdom that comes from that kind of look with this whole with this whole map look that we're trying to do in Pharos and get the sweet spot where we get the best of all worlds. Fair enough, and you're welcome to comment and correct on anything I've said about EBN. So our the big efforts to try to do it all have focused on LCA, or at least I should say those who are doing LCAs and to market them as being the kind of thing that we market. Well, Mark, I don't know. We talk about Pharos is trying to do, that is, encompass all environmental impact. I have you noticed that my my map here is missing a few things. Because what LCAs actually do is they do a very, very detailed effort, varying detail depending on the LCA, but they attempt to do a detailed effort of tracking material flows and emissions. You know, how much material is going in and going out? How much is being emitted throughout the life cycle there, of the product, ideally from cradle to cradle. Oh, geez, excuse me. Life cycle assessment, or sometimes life cycle analysis. Sorry, I'm starting at the wrong, I'm assuming too much. Thanks for raising your hand on that. So there are a variety of protocols and programs, two of them that are actually accessible to the architect, architect or designer or specifier, one of them being the Athena Eco Calculator, which works on an assembly basis rather than a product basis, and primarily focuses on measuring the energy usage throughout the life cycle of the products that go into an assembly, like a wall assembly or a roof assembly, global warming potential, and they have a measure of air and water pollution based on the amount of dilution needed from what's released to reach regulatory okay levels, and a really crude habitat impact measure, which I think is primarily based upon the amount of habitat that's dislocated by what ends up in the dump, in landfills. So though it's advertised as being all the, you know, being the whole life cycle and the whole set of environmental impacts, it's actually a fairly narrow set. Now, it's an important set because it's different from what a lot of the other programs are offering right now. So it's adding to the picture. It's adding to the map, but it's only adding certain parts to the map. And in terms of the Athena Eco Calculator, it's not real good at promoting market transformation because it's based on generic products rather than a manufacturer's specific products. You don't get an opportunity to identify which manufacturers are going beyond the industry average. It is good for letting you know what's the gross difference in the measures that it does between things like a steel assembly and a concrete assembly. BEES is the other big one that's available at the design level right now, developed by I mentioned that Athena is a Canadian product. Athena Institute is originated in Canada, though it's now a multinational between the two countries. BEES was a U.S. government-sponsored project. And BEES has some more flows involved in it. The Athena Eco Calculator is about to expand to cover more of the same territory that BEES does. BEES is product-specific as opposed to whole assemblies. But it's still mostly focused on energy, mostly does its best job in energy and some of the big criteria, air pollution flows. It has a measure of indoor air quality, but it's really crude. It doesn't really give you what the labeling programs do right now, and I can discuss that more at length at some, you know, in the Q&A or other times if people want. LCA is a whole topic we could do a whole session on. But so the LCAs are measuring gross material flow and some gross pollution flows. They're doing their best job on energy. That's, you know, it's important. It's climate change. And so it's useful stuff, but it's limited. We still have no social indicators. EBN writes on them a little bit, but so far most of the things we've talked about, we have no social indicators getting into any of these yet. Now, we do have a few programs that are starting to try to cover all of the categories we've identified in them. The MTS, which is, I always forget what that stands
Moving
for.
Towards sustainability.
Institute for Market Transformation for Sustainability, right? Hmm. Yeah. They set up the first structure of analysis that really attempts to be more comprehensive and get something in each of the categories. It's not aspirational the way Pharos is of setting what the end goals are, but at least it's starting to have some indicators in just about every, you know, in almost every area. And there have been a number of offshoots, different programs have been developed from the MTS structure. The California Gold Carpet Standard was the NSF 140 Sustainable Carpet, which raises an interesting question that we got into a little bit yesterday, that most of these offshoots are being managed by trade associations. And the process has been kind of interesting to watch. Different trade associations approach it in different ways, but at worst, they sometimes have the NSF 140 has gone through some terrible stuff of going through processes where they're putting in lots of loopholes and ways to double count, and we're trying to fix that up now, but it's a challenging process to get a meaningful standard out of a trade association that has very mixed needs that it needs to meet. Other thing about these programs is that they're point-based, like the LEED system. You get points for doing various things. There are a few prerequisites, but they're pretty black box. The manufacturer submits information, they get points in various areas. You can see what the points are, so you can see where they end up on their own version of that Pharos lens there, but you don't really know how, and so you don't really know where they did well and where they didn't and whether that matches your values. Another similar type of program is the MBDC's Cradle to Cradle, which also covers more areas than most other programs. High emphasis, as you can see, on toxics and on closed loop resources, the stuff that Bill McDonough has made famous, and really drilling into the recycled, not just the recycled content, but what happens at the end of life and whether you can get it back into the industrial cycle or whether it's a one-way thing. They have a very intense chemical screen, but it's black box. And EBN wrote an excellent article, I thought, on that several months ago on the cradle-to-cradle program and a lot of both the pros and cons of it.
Is it specific to one manufacturer, too? I mean, as far as I know, for the carbon industry, it's only one manufacturer.
Right. With the cradle-to-cradle program is, it's kind of this weird hybrid because it's, at one level it's a certification program, but it's you can only get it by working with MBDC. And in fact, the early stages, this lens represents kind of a rough cut on when you get up into the gold and platinum level of cradle-to-cradle, what you're actually doing in the earlier stages, the silver and basic certified levels of cradle to cradle are primarily just representing that you have entered into a relationship with MBDC and you have intent to improve and have given them an inventory of what you have. It doesn't actually say very much about the product itself. That lens would look very, very much shrunk down. More about that in the future. So that's so you can see that we have a real range of, of certification and labeling and, programs out there that, and we're kind of scattershot on what we're addressing and what we're not in this right now. Jack is now going to talk in a little more detail about how we're going through trying to establish a framework more comprehensive in each of these, not only to have something in each of these categories, but to actually establish benchmarks all the way from where we are to where we want to be.